Okay, all good? Right? All right, let's do this. Here we go then. Welcome to Thundercast, your brand new monthly Manchester Thunder podcast. I'm Lindsay Chapman. I'm an international netball commentator and a TV and radio presenter. Now, every month, I'm going to take you to the beating heart of Manchester Thunder. I've got big names, big questions, and no doubt some pretty big opinions if I know Thunder right. And I'd really love you to be part of the conversation. More on that coming up. Now, we want you to be connected to the netball world. So each EP has an amazing sponsor. So massive thank you to UAP, the leading door hardware supplier in the UK, for getting a handle on this one. Now, I mentioned big name guests, and on this first episode, former Thunder and England coach Tracy Neville will be dropping in for a little chat. But before we hear from T-Nev, I am delighted to say that I'm joined by Manchester Thunder defensive legend and three-time Netball Super League winner, Kerry Armand. Welcome. Welcome to Thundercast. How are you doing, Kerry?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, you?
Yeah, brilliant. Great to have you along. And franchise managing director, Debbie Hallis. Hello to you as well.
Hi, great to be here.
Well, first of all, this is a brand new sparkly podcast. We're so excited about it. We've been chatting away. We've been saying, oh, this is brilliant. It's the first of its kind. We're ready to roll. And then Surrey Storm saw some of our tweets and they got in touch and they said, actually, we've had a podcast since 2019. Did you see that little tweet from Surrey Storm?
Little dig there, weren't there? Little dig.
Little dig. They wanted to get in. And, you know, we were like, well, this is the first of its kind. We're very excited about it. We love a bit of rivalry as well. So Surrey Storm, this is on.
I think it's the first podcast for a champion team. Or the current champion, so maybe that.
There you go.
We'll roll with
that. We're calling it the first of its kind. As I said, we want to bring you the latest netball news, access to the players that you know and love, because it isn't the easiest time at the moment. But there have been brilliant, brilliant times. And Kerry, you retired at the end of the Super League season in 2019 with a win over Wasps. Thunder were crowned Netball Super League champs for the third time. It must have meant such a lot to you, the end of your career with Thunder, a massive win. How did you feel?
I mean, if I'd have gone out the season before, I think, you know, it would have been a lot harder. But, you know, to go out on that particular one, you want to go out on a win. And I kind of copied Karen, really. She went out on a win. So, you know, I've got to go out on a win with her as my coach as well. So, yeah, it was an epic day all round. It was such a good game. I'm not sure it was a good game for all the Thunder fans with the amount of times, obviously, we went down by quite a lot. I think my mum said she had a few heart attacks and kittens during the game. So I think the neutral's good game. Last quarter was probably the best 15 minutes of our season, definitely.
Oh, it was such an exciting game. I actually went back and watched it, and then I watched the end and the trophy, and your face next to Emma is something else. Have you watched that back?
Do you know what? I haven't watched the entire game back yet. I really hate watching myself. I've watched little bits of clips of it, and I remember watching a bit when we ended up at Debbie's house after that journey home, and I've seen images as well. I actually got shown an image probably a couple of months after it that I'd not seen before, and I was like, is that what I look like? Yeah, I mean, epic memories, and it felt a little bit surreal, to be honest, at that time, and that's why I think it really showed. And I think, you know, to go out with that team, with so many girls that I've played with and known for so many years, it was, yeah, I think the pictures say it all, really.
Obviously, we're recording this on Zoom at the moment. We're all in our separate houses and I can see Debbie's face. You're living that again, that moment.
Oh, God, yeah. What a day. What a day. It was pretty phenomenal, you know, from start to finish. You had everything you could have possibly wanted out of a game. Not great for my health and my heart, for sure. To see the team come back from literally the jaws of defeat in that last quarter was phenomenal.
Obviously, the world is a really different place now. And back at the start of March, the Super League was well underway, wasn't it, really? We were into round four. Thunder were undefeated. So they got four wins under their belt. And then coronavirus hit. And on the 27th of May, England Netball announced the cancellation of the 2020 Super League season. Kerry, have you spoken to the team? You know, how are they feeling at the moment? Is the chat going on behind the scenes? It can't be very easy.
I haven't really spoken to many of them, to be honest. I got kicked out of the groups when I wasn't playing again this season, so, you know.
Okay, you didn't leave the WhatsApp group, you were ejected.
Well, to be fair, they start a new one every year for that kind of fair squad. Enough. So, you know, I've had a few bits of conversations with people, but I think Debbie speaks to them quite a lot. I think if I was playing, I would be absolutely gutted. And I imagine that that's, you know, that's how they're feeling. I mean, they spent however many months in pre-season, and Karen's pre-seasons are not fun, you know. Then to play four games, to play one absolutely ripper of a home game, and then to have the season taken away when, you know, I think all signs were pointing towards another final. I think, you know, they've worked so, so hard. You know, I can only imagine how that feels, really. And it's just a bit rubbish, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that sums up this year so far pretty well. Debbie, how's it looking in terms of returning to netball? And I'm talking about grassroots all the way up, because the good news is that England have started training again, but we've got this plan to go through from England netball for the Super League franchises as well, and for girls that just play with their local team. How are we doing with that?
It's different across, because obviously the England Roses are back, but they're classed as elite competition, so they're under a different banner than your community netball. Now, England netball at the moment are running forums that's going through the path back and all the plans that England are putting in place for a return to netball. Now, we're still in the early stages and still at a point where we can only play in groups of six. In the areas where there's a more local lockdown like we're experiencing here at the moment, that's limited even further now, because, you know, clubs were working on multiple courts. Now you can only work on one court in a group of six. So we're quite away from a return, I feel, at the moment, from the community's level, you know, and that kind of includes our pathway to a point. The next steps are that England Netball are putting a proposal to the government with an adapted version of the game to see if we can get something back along those lines. So fingers crossed we can, and hopefully then we can see if that's successful and we can progress that. Hopefully that then leads to us getting back to a full-scale netball as we know it, or as we knew it.
I heard you mention there that there might be modifications to the game because of COVID-19. Now, that is fascinating to me. Do you know what's being talked about?
Yes, there's about four main parts to it. The first one is that the 3-foot mark will now go to 4.
I've got to bring Kerry in there, because as a defender, 3 feet is already a long way. And obviously, you can't jump into the ball. You can only jump up. 4 feet, are you going to be able to get anywhere near it?
Well, I get poor for obstruction all the time anyway. 3 feet, so 4 feet, I've got no chance, have I? Yeah, I mean, it's 3 feet is hard enough. And I think, you know, when you, obviously, as a defender, if you're up against a shooter that's 6'2", 6'3", and you're not quite that tall, it's hard enough at 3 feet, never mind at 4 feet. So, we'll have to see it in action. That's all I'm going to say on that one. It's not the worst one, let's just say that.
Oh, great. Keep going. Back to Debbie.
The other ones, one is that they'll remove toss-ups from the game, which they pretty much have done anyway, and the most pointless rule in the game. The other one is you have to stay away from your partner as much as possible. Now, that's quite vague to me.
So are we talking zonal marking, like, you know, maybe they do in New Zealand, or do you just have to stand at the opposite side of the court, let them have the ball?
Well, yeah, I mean, you would say, you know, an obvious one would be go for zonal marking, but then you'll probably get teams that just won't do it. And how would an umpire judge it? You know, do players get pulled if they mark the partner for too long? Or I really don't understand quite how that one will work.
Yeah, that sounds really tough, doesn't it? I mean,
it's not netball.
It's not netball. That's exactly it. It's not netball. It's a sport where you want to stick to that player because you're looking to read the moves, you're looking to read the ball.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough. And what's the fourth one?
So the fourth one is, and probably a fairly sensible one, in the change in the game time from 4:15s to 4:10s, which is just reducing the amount of contact time.
Centres everywhere are rejoicing.
You know, to get the game back, something like that, I mean, that's a simple one for me anyway. Players will need time to kind of adapt and get the match fitness back anyway. So hopefully, you know, just changing the game time, cutting it down a little bit won't make a huge difference for now.
Does that make you want to get back on court, Kerry? You know, if those things were put in place and you thought, well, brilliant, it's a way of me playing netball, or does that change the game too much?
I think for me, that third one of stay away from your opponent as much as possible, that just changed it far too much, and it just kind of doesn't become netball. And as a goalkeeper, you know, part of my job is to stick to my shooter and hassle them as much as possible. And, you know, if you can't do that, then my role has changed too much. And what am I supposed to do? Just kind of, well, the shooter's got a position in the middle of the circle, so what, stand 2 metres away from her and then she just gets the ball? It changes the game too much. And for me, that's not netball. That's not a version of the game that I want to play, because that isn't my game.
So you choose to wait a little bit longer?
I'd rather they wait, yeah. I personally would rather they wait, because I don't want to go back to a game that's too different from the organ. The 4 feet thing can cope with that. The short quarter is brilliant. But, you know, if you can't actually do what you're supposed to do in netball, whether you're a shooter, a keeper, a wing defence, whatever, yeah, it doesn't work for me. I mean, how are you supposed to contest for ball? Are you allowed to contest for ball? Are you allowed to go up for a rebound together? Are you even allowed to do anything, basically, that's challenging the opposite team? It doesn't sound like it, personally. So I'm not keen on the idea at all. I don't even know how you'd begin to coach that one, Debbie.
I mean, it doesn't sound easy, does it? But nothing's easy at the moment. So we do have to think about making changes. I mean, final thing on this. I have heard rumours of an autumn series for the Super League. Is there any chance of that happening?
In a word, no.
Okay.
It's really unfortunate. We had the news last week that we won't be getting an autumn competition.
Gutted.
Absolutely. I mean, I fought for competition right from the outbreak of the coronavirus. Sadly, there just doesn't really seem enough motivation to make it happen. There were two teams that were up for the autumn competition, ourselves and Mavericks. And, you know, it's just a real, real shame that there weren't more pushing for it. I understand the situation that we're in, you know, and it's very challenging for everybody, and there's always going to be bridges to cross. There's always going to be hurdles, but you've got to break those hurdles down. And, you know, the league went to Sky and other stakeholders within netball, went to the government, lobbied the government, but without the, you know, the teams being 100% behind it, unfortunately, it wasn't able to happen.
Okay, well, it's interesting to get a definitive answer on that, because there are little rumours going around. So thank you for sharing that with us. And it'll be, you know, fascinating to see what happens over the next few months. We'll bring you the very latest right here on Thundercast. Now, the world has changed for everyone this year, but for one of the most influential members of the Thunder family, it's changed in a different way. Now, she needs no introduction, but I am delighted to say that I caught up with former England head coach, England international and Manchester Thunder star Tracy Neville to see how it's all been going. Tracy Neville is on the line. Welcome to Thundercast. What an absolute pleasure to have you. From your holiday, no less.
Thank you. I know. What a best way. What a nice setting, considering it's raining back home. But yeah, thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure to support Manchester Thunder and their new initiative to get netball out there.
Well, the first thing to say to you, Tracy, is congratulations on the birth of your baby boy, Nev. You had him back in March. Obviously, the world has changed a huge amount since then. How's it all been going?
It's been absolutely amazing. It's enabled us probably to have more family time than we expected. However, I now know that mentally that the worst place you can keep me is locked up in a house, only allow me out for an hour a day. And the lack of freedom has been really challenging, and especially for a new mum as well, and not having the access to my family and particularly my mum. But, you know, Nev's been an absolute dream. The actual really lovely thing now is we're taking him out and he's like going, there's other people in this world apart from his mum and dad. And it's amazing. He's seen so many new things and he's growing up so fast. And yeah, it's just a lovely experience.
I can see when you talk about him, your whole face just lights up. It's such an exciting time for you. Having said that, it is quite tiring, and I imagine you haven't had loads of space in your head for netball. Does netball creep back in here and there?
Do you know, at the start, it didn't. I think lack of sleep. And I was actually ready to have a break. I think it was pretty full on up to me having Nev, even though I wasn't actually in a full-time role. However, one thing I've realised through isolation is the lack of accessibility to netball that we've had. And I personally have really struggled with that. You know, my thought was that when I had Nev, I'd go back to doing some sort of coaching, to taking Nev to the netball. And I think people need to realise, and even the government, that, yeah, netball has so many restrictions on health and safety in respect to getting COVID. But however, they've got to realise the actual mental instability that it's causing people, because you're lacking not only the health and well-being, but you're lacking like the social part of the sport, and you know, giving yourself something to turn up to with a team. And I think them are all the things that I really loved as a youngster and why I got into the sport. But now with having a baby and me lacking them friends and that social interaction, it's been really hard for me personally. I've really struggled through this period.
Do you know, I think you're absolutely right. And one thing that I've really found during this time is that social thing that you've just talked about. Let's be really honest here. Do you think that netball can come back from coronavirus? Because, you know, the Super League, it relies on those fans, it relies on those volunteers, it relies on that community spirit. And that's tough at the moment.
I can talk of this from two ways. I think earlier on when, you know, every other sport was doing everything possible to get their sport back up and running with the Super League. And I was a true believer that National Super League had to run to save netball. People are thinking that people won't lose interest in netball, but what they're not understanding is we did so much to get the sport to where it was, with sponsors, with the media, with external sources, fans, volunteers, that now people, there's no netball, so people are not contributing to the memberships. So that's going to have a knock-on effect with England netball. Women who have been, you know, we've been campaigning for years and years, you know, there's some great initiatives, Couch to Court, Back to Netball. People who've been like, you know, took a long time to actually join one of them initiatives, has now had probably a 5 to 6 month break. Are they going to start that back up again? Because that is the struggle now. Have they found alternative ways to keep fit? Or are they just not going to start it back up again? And I think that's the real struggle that we're going to have now. And people think that, you know, the National Super League, you know, the vision of that could have potentially kept people in the vision of the sport. And with that now obviously being taken away, and that, you know, we don't know if the internationals are going to go on. You know, the only access now we have to netball is to watch it transatlantic in obviously New Zealand and Australia. Now, from an international coach's point of view, you know, for me to sit there watching New Zealand and Australia play is brilliant, obviously looking at the opposition and monitoring the players. But to see that, you know, 75% of my, you know, of the cohort of players who would have been, you know, in the Roses, sat at home doing hit and fitness, it devastates me to think that they're not on court playing just like them athletes out there. And, you know, I hope in a way it doesn't impact England netball, because the way you play netball is to play the sport, it's not to train. And if you keep the athletes playing, you keep the interest in the training. And I just think that I hope we've not lost that momentum.
I think that there is a bit of good news here, and that is that the Roses are now back on court training together. It's stage one of the plan, and obviously they've got plans going forwards. I am so excited for the Australian League to start up. You know, I want to watch, I want to get engaged. I want to see our Roses players out there as well. Let me take you back, Tracy. Let me take you back to the last time we met, which was in the BBC Radio 5 Live studio. It was after your England Roses had claimed bronze at the Netball World Cup. We're a year on. How do you reflect on Liverpool and everything that happened there?
I look back on that, and obviously the biggest regret I have is that we didn't come away with that gold medal. Going into that tournament, I thought we'd obviously missed a few key players. Obviously, you know, we lost three wing defences. Up to that semi-final, we obviously lost Beth Cobden, Jodie Gibson, and we lost, obviously, Leila Guskov through that particular tournament. You know, you talk about a winning team every day with them girls. We woke up wanting to win, and we only lost two quarters out of 32 the whole tournament. And when you look at our what it takes to win stats that we were meeting, you know, we had to meet, and our goals that we had to do, we actually achieved every single one of them. But what we did is we lost two quarters in that tournament, which cost us, obviously, going into that gold medal playoff. And, you know, but for me, the performances of the individual girls, the performances of the team, us having probably one of the hardest run-ins to that particular final, obviously having to beat South Africa, and we had to beat South Africa twice, we had to beat Jamaica, we had to beat New Zealand. You know, you talk about obstacles, and, you know, I couldn't fault the girls. They rose to every single obstacle. And, you know, to lose a final by two goals, you know, sport is so cruel, you know. But however, they went on to be world champions. And they were a team that had been, you know, had been sort of collated all the way through the 18 months that Nolene Torroa took over that team. And what they did is they put their squad together, and it was a squad that no one had had vision of or played against leading into that World Cup. And, you know, that obviously teaches you something as a coach as well. And although we've been trying to do that all the way through the Roses programme, at the particular time, we just weren't able to do it. We sort of weren't able to get over that line. And the girls probably were disappointed because they probably didn't play like they wanted to play in that semi-final.
Where do you think the team goes next, the Roses?
I want them to go up and up. Under Jess, Jess Thirlby, she's done a great job down at Team Bath in, you know, setting up their performance centre, and obviously the number of titles she's won, and hope, you know, I'm thinking that she can bring that now into the Roses. The girls, obviously, with a new coach involved, it's always good to have, I believe in holistic coaching, so I believe that, you know, a new coach brings different ideas, so you build on the identity that we had before, and we sort of take that forward. I think she will find it hard now because obviously she's lacking that international competition that she was obviously proposed for this year. She's obviously lacking the accessibility to players because they'll be playing longer now in their leagues out in Australia. However, you know, we had many obstacles starting out our programme. We obviously, you know, in the first 2 years, and that still drove us to win a gold medal. So as long as the players are all on board, and, you know, we set up a great identity and we set up a great ethos in the culture in the team. And I do truly believe that they'll go on to bigger and better things, and I hope they do.
You mentioned a gold medal there, Tracy. Let me take you back to the Commonwealth Games, to 2018. We're on the Gold Coast. It's the final. England are taking on Australia. It's a packed stadium. I am watching, absolutely glued to my TV, screaming at home. It's 51 all. There's 10 seconds left to run. What is going through your mind?
Do you know, I looked at particular players on that court, because we'd said to Joe Harton about 6 weeks before, you're going to play goal attack in this tournament. I don't know when it's going to be, but be prepared. But we're not going to train you to be that goal attack. We're just going to literally throw you in there. And it actually happened in the last quarter of that final. We made the change of taking Chelsea off, putting Joe out, and obviously putting that Aethonthwaite onto that wing attack. And I looked at key players, and you saw the impact that Aethonthwaite had made in that semi-final, but the impact that Joe had made shooting that last shot. And then, obviously, you know, it felt like the defence needed to prove something down that end. And, you know, although we had, like, our centre-court, who were just there all the time, they're like the cement around the team, I just knew at that time we needed something from Jeeva Mentor. And obviously the ball went down. Jeeva obviously did something to Caitlin. The ball went out the back of the thing. And we had, I think it was about 30 seconds to get the ball down, something like that. And we'd been practicing this scenario so many times in training, maintaining possession. That was one of our identities. And the ball just went down. And I just kept thinking to myself, just get in the circle. And they just kept playing it round and all that. And then as soon as that ball hit Ellen Owsley's hands, I thought, she shot one of these from Thunder. She shot me. She's won a final for me at Thunder doing this shot. That was one. That's Ellen's bread and butter. And then she missed it. And obviously, I hadn't seen the umpire make the decision of too close. And I thought to myself, I can't believe she's just missed that shot. Like that is the easiest shot in Thunder. It was out on the edge of the circle when she shot that shot. And then obviously he pulled it back, and I thought, you don't give Helen Housby a second shot. And then obviously, like, the bench, you saw the bench and everything. It was just, but, you know, I always say to myself, you know, as a player, I was England netball through and through. But as a coach, your loyalty, you sort of create your own loyalty and your own history with a team. And although there was a lot of history with me being a player, and so for me getting you know, having a feeling of what that felt like to that players, because you always strive to win that gold medal. As a coach, it felt that I'd only been with that team, you know, over that last five years reign, and we'd created a history, a loyalty towards each other. And I truly believe that, you know, you can go into any environment and really create that, and you become part of their anthem, you become part of their tracksuit. And I think that's really, really important as a coach, that, you know, it didn't feel like I was a player then, even though it ticked a lot of boxes for when I played. It felt like we'd created history and a loyalty together over that 5 years that was just really genuine, and a real genuine friendship, which really a coach and player don't have, but it's a different friendship. And I just feel like now that, yeah, it was such a lovely time.
You could really see that on the TV coverage, you know, that moment when Helen Miss got a second go and then just ran off down the court. It did. It changed netball. It changed netball for people like me. I've been playing since I was 6 years old, and I have that imprinted on my brain. What an absolute moment. Of course, you've talked about Helen. You've talked about Manchester Thunder. Let's take you back to your time there. You coached Manchester Thunder to two Super League titles. What do you think it is that sets Thunder apart?
When I went into Thunder, I think Mike Greenwood had done an excellent job, and he'd created a sort of a base. And I always think when you want a winning team, you have to have a base, and you have to add on to that base and pick in where you want. He also was a great believer in his homegrown players. You know, he really believed that the style of Manchester was a real powerful tool. And he really tried to build on that. So when I come in, I think the key changes, I'd say the key differences probably I made when I come in were that, one, I wasn't associated with any club. And I think that is really important for a head coach, that you're not associated with your club. You have a real holistic approach across the whole of the Northwest. The other thing that we did is as I did with England, I wanted to make Manchester Thunder, or Northern Thunder at the time, accessible to everybody. So I wanted it, you know, I didn't want it to be just Manchester based. I wanted it to be accessible to someone in Carlisle, Helen Housby, you know, in the Merseyside, Liverpool. I wanted everyone in the Northwest to play netball, and I wanted everyone to be able to use the facilities that England Netball and Manchester Thunder put in place to obviously bring up and generate the youth. And in doing that, I had a great relationship, obviously, playing my netball in Manchester with all the county coaches, the clubs, and obviously the regional. And without their support, I wouldn't potentially have probably achieved. And for me, it was about bringing talent through and taking that talent onto the next level. And, you know, I wanted everyone to play for England. And although I wasn't an England coach at the time, I felt that sometimes there's a lot of negativity around women succeeding in sport at a higher level. You know, they tend to choose the direction of education. And I wanted to make it possible that they could do both. And we've seen some great examples in the England Roses with Ebony Beckford Chambers, Layla Guscott, you know, those people who can create some great career goals, but also play international netball. And I didn't want that to be a stopping point for anyone. And we actually did that. And obviously Karen Gregg at the time was obviously heading up the youth. So to have a great person like Karen, you know, driving the programme from that side, I was driving it from the top, and we were collaborative working together to really push netball on. And what we did is we started to create an ethos. And Manchester Thunder were always a team who got into that fourth playoff. So they always got into playoffs, but they never seemed to take it that further. And what we started to do is we started to create a little bit of our own identity. We started to put in the way we wanted to play. We put more netball on for the girls, more accessible. They didn't have to come through certain routes, because I think there's sometimes a lot of restrictions on the pathways. And I think I found, particularly in the England team, that's not how they work. We had four pathways in the England team. Because people can't just do, sometimes mentally can't just do netball solely as their whole life. They need something else to contribute to that. So what we did is we facilitated pathways for different individuals. And, you know, it just sort of come a success. And obviously having the backing at the time of obviously Debbie Hallis and Pam Hazelton, who were my bosses at the time, was absolutely great. Because what I loved about them is they never said no to me. And I hate people who say no to me. And, you know, they really drove it from the forefront. And they want to be better. And they like that someone is so passionate and wants to be better. So what they did is they probably made everything happen for me, really, which, you know, you couldn't have asked for two amazing bosses. They just give me a free rein. I was like a maverick, and they just supported me. We probably had a few battles because we're all very headstrong, but, you know, that only makes for a successful business. And, you know, to win the Super League in the first year was not probably on the five-year plan. However, it was a great, we always call it, it was a great bus ride home. But I think in the third year when we won it, in that 2014, the way we won it as well was just truly amazing. And obviously, Karen now, you know, Manchester Thunder lost a little bit of that unity the year after I obviously left. But now I think Karen Gregg, she knows what it does, she takes to win. She knows what players she needs for that. And, you know, she's continued that legacy on. And I can imagine she's going to go on and win a lot more titles than me.
We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. I know you two are close friends. So.
No pressure, Reggie. No pressure.
Yeah, there's some competition there. I've heard there's a secret handbook about coaching players the Thunder way, and that it's handed down from head coach to head coach. Now, is that true? And what's in it?
Yeah, we do have a certain, we have a way to play in the Thunder way. And do you know what? You can't move to another team and not take a lot of that ethos with us. And, you know, I moved to obviously the England team, and a lot of it, if you think about the Manchester Thunder, a lot of it, you know, they always say they're the hardest team to play. And when you ask other people what is Manchester Thunder's identity, you know, the hard, relentless man on man. That's what they work towards. They never give up. Never think that you're 10 goals up against Manchester Thunder, because they'll come back at you and win. They're a bit like a Man United Fergie team, I like to say. We probably drilled in that. The other thing that we have is that we're great possession players. You know, if you look a lot of the mid-quarters, we breed a lot of fast, strong mid-quarters who, you know, just keep running around. If you think about Sarah Bayman, Jade Clark, Amy Carter, Laura Malcolm, Beth Cobden, you know, the great centre quarters who just keep going and going and never give up. And obviously, I think the last thing, and I think this is driven by the clubs 100% through the Northwest, is, you know, the shooting. They bring some of the best shooters through in the country. You know, shooters will shoot from anywhere, and that for me is really important. They're not lacking in shooting under pressure as well. You know, they'll put any shots up to win that title. That's the relentlessness that the Manchester Thunder have.
I'd love it if that book just said, never give up. When you opened it, it just says, never give up. That'd be amazing. I'm going to finish, Tracy, with a couple of quick fire questions, if that's all right, and okay. Some questions from the listeners as well. So just, you know, whatever comes into your head, just go for it. So what's the best nickname you've ever been given?
Nev.
Excellent. I see what you've done there. I like it. I see where that's gone. what is the best position on the netball court?
Goal attack.
Of course, it's got to be goal attack. I play centre. Come on, centre. Who has been your favourite person to play with in your career?
Karen Gregg.
Here's one from Laura in Hayward. Who's the better shooter, you or Karen?
Karen.
Oh, so generous. Mike in Manchester says, do you have a secret go-to coaching tactic? If so, what is it?
Recycle the ball. So go back to the third line, go back to the goalkeeper. You know, just don't think that you have to throw the ball away. Them are your only options. I always recycle the ball.
Excellent. Do you have any superstitions as a player?
Yes. I always used to wear the same underwear, but I used to wash it.
And finally, the big question. Are you going to come back to coaching? We all want you to.
Yes, 100% I'm going to come back to coaching. I don't know what that will look like for me at the moment, but yeah, I think one thing I've realised is I almost thought I'd be back in coaching in June, and obviously that's not happened. So hopefully netball can get back on the road and I can get back out there.
So there you go, the latest from Tracy. What was it like, Kerry, having Tracy as a coach? What was she like?
Well, for me, Tracy was the first time I've ever really had a coach that wasn't Mike Greenwood. And she came in and she changed so much. Tracy coming in was the first time that the majority of our girls had ever done some form of S&C programme. You know, she came in and she set that up really well, I think, originally with Manchester University. Obviously, you could tell that it worked because we went on, you know, we won the fast net. And then obviously went on and won the Super League for the very first time. So she just brought a different level of intensity into it, and just a different viewpoint. for us all as well, and she was incredibly influential on a lot of our players. I think under Tracy was when a lot of our girls kind of got their start with England. Yeah, she was just something new and something different, and I think she changed the course of Thunder's future for sure.
Well, she's obviously got really fond memories of the time that she spent with Thunder, and no doubt you do as well, Kerry, with your full career with the team, really. I've got a question here, because let's say this loud and proud. One of the big perks of being a member is that you get to pass some questions on to me, and I will ask them to the big names, the players that we've got coming on Thundercast. So I've had a question from Donna in Romilly.
Oh, God.
And she wants to know, Kerry, what... What was the oh God for? Do you know her?
Yeah, she's one of Thunder's long-standing volunteers. I think her and Malk, they started volunteering for Thunder when I started playing. So, yeah, I think they're into like 11 or 12 years now, I think. And you can always spot them at games. If there's a fancy dress game, no doubt they will have something on. I don't know, they've been umpa-lumpers, they've been all sorts. So, mad, let's just say that.
Okay. Okay, well, brace yourself then. Oh. Here is the question from Donna. No, it's good, it's good. How's life outside of Thunder, and what do you miss most about playing for them? Nice question.
I have a little bit more time. I don't do much with that time, but I have a bit more time. Someone asked me this just after the season opener down in Birmingham. Did I miss playing? I managed to watch a little bit of Thunder's game against Wasps, and actually while I was sat there, I didn't really miss it, which I think shows it was probably the right time. I think what I miss the most is obviously seeing the girls, the social aspects of it, but you know, I'm lucky enough that I do still get to see a fair amount of them, because I still play with some of them at club. I don't miss the traveling around the country, and I don't miss Karen's 15 seconds on and 15 seconds off. That was probably the most hideous part of netball training, was the running up and down a court. I mean, there's a reason I'm a goalkeeper.
On that, you talked about still playing, which is brilliant when and where you can, bearing in mind that we're in the current situation. Little section of the pod now called Coaching Corner. And I would love you, Kerry, if you've got a little tip that people can maybe do at home, if they've got a little bit of space, or even in a living room, if you've got a wall or something like that. Do you have a top coaching tip that you can tell us?
There's so much that you can do with a ball and a wall. You know, you can make yourself a little cross on a wall, and you can press, you know, practice your passing accuracy. But you can also bring little bits of movement in there, whether it's side to side or forward and back. But I think, you know, people like Laura Malcolm, you know, she's put out some pretty great stuff over this lockdown with, you know, all the YouTube videos and stuff that she's done, and all the little drills and things. So I would say if there's little bits that you need, and then Laura's probably the one to hit up on that. But anything that you can do with a wall, you can practice your shoulder passing, and you know, you can do your turns. You know, you can even do something really, really simple as getting a chair or a wheelie bin or something outside, I guess. And you can use your footwork to go around that, passing off the wall, and just little thing. You can use inanimate objects to pose as big 6'3" defenders.
That's a great tip. Get your wheeling bin out and prance around it doing your footwork. Yeah. I like that.
And I think one for shooters, I remember years ago when I was trying to be a shooter, and my car coach had me going to some of these shooting workshops. I was terrible, by the way. And he would have a broom. He would stand and he would mark you, and he would use the broom to make you go up and over. So if you're a shooter, get your mum, your dad, your sister, your brother, whatever out, and get a brush, get a broom out, and get practicing shooting over that. Because if you can shoot over a broom that's about 7 or 8 feet, you can shoot over me.
That is a fantastic tip. I like that a lot. I've actually drawn a little face on the wall outside where I practice. She's called Sandra. She's so good at passing. I tell you what, they come back at me so fast. She's good. She's really good. So do that as well. Well, ladies, we have reached the final whistle. This is towards the end of the show when we talk about one final issue or theme that we haven't covered. And once again, members, you'll be able to suggest them. So have a think what you'd like us to talk about, because we'd like to get your ideas in for our final whistle. I've brought one this week, and I want to talk to you both about the return of the Suncor Super Netball in Australia. Hooray! Obviously, we've got England. Yay! We've got England Roses playing out there, including former Thunder players. But 12 days before the start of the competition, it began on the 1st of August. The whole of the Suncor Super Netball relocated to Queensland to avoid the COVID-19 concerns in other states, and they're hoping this allows them to play the full season out there. But possibly even more controversial than coronavirus itself is the new super shot rule. I mean, this shook the netball world right to the core, didn't it? And the idea behind this is that in the last 5 minutes of each quarter, teams will receive 2 points for a super shot that's scored from a zone on the outside edge of the current shooting circle. Now, I'm a bit worried about this. I can see you both grinning away. Go on. We've had the first games. What did you think of the super shot?
Well, kind of, first of all, I think we need to do a huge shout out for all the clubs and the league over there for making it happen and the resilience they've shown in all relocating literally at the drop of a hat, you know, to make it happen. And that's what we need to do with our sport and women's sport more so. We need to show more resilience like that. So, 2-point shot. I'm always very open-minded about anything until I see it happen. And I think people were very, very quick to criticise. And I must admit, I thought, no, this is going too far away from netball, really, and traditional netball. And I think there is a game there for that, you know, with Fast Five. There was also the criticism for it coming in so late. But I think it's probably a great decision to bring it in this kind of season that it's happening, to at least kind of see if it's going to be a success or not.
The decision there, you're absolutely right. The decision was quite late on, essentially after all the clubs have put their teams together already. So if you were looking for that long bomb, super shot queen, you couldn't make changes to the lineup you'd already got. And people were cross about that. You know, Australian netball could have brought that in much earlier.
Yeah, I get that. Because, you know, as we would recruiting players, you're recruiting on, you know, on a whole number of things, and that certainly would be right up there. But, I mean, at the moment, it's adding excitement, I think, and I'm still open-minded about it. I think we need to see how it evolves for me.
Kerry, as a defender, surely, you've always been trying to keep your players out of the shooting circle. Will that change? Will you try and play them in to get them under the post to just get one?
I don't like it. For me, it is a bit too much like Fast Five, because you're going from, like you said, you're going from playing one type of game as a defender to then you have to then change and relearn everything that you need to do, which is fine doing it for one type of game that you might only play across one weekend like we did. But then this is kind of, for 10 minutes of a quarter, you're playing one way, and then 5 minutes of a quarter, you're playing a completely different game. And as a defender, you've got to switch that mindset so quickly. But then also as a shooter, you've got to change that mindset ridiculously quickly. And then your mid-court as well, because all of a sudden, your shooters want the balls in a different place. Those teams that have got a shooter that can, you know, pop them away like that are probably going to be going, you know, it's not too bad. Those teams that recruited shooters on a different kind of feeling are probably a little bit miffed right now.
Yeah, I think you've summed it up really well there. And we'll have to keep a close eye on it, because who knows, in a couple of years' time, it could be making its way to our Super League. No, everyone's shaking their heads at me. No, that's because we've got to paint more stuff onto the court, and no one wants to do that. It's confusing enough already. I did find it exciting. I was a bit of a critic of it. I thought the netball game doesn't need this. It's already a brilliant game. And then I watched it, and as a viewer, it made the shooter take a difficult shot. And I did really enjoy that.
I mean, if we'd have had this rule a couple of years ago when Karen was playing, we'd probably won a lot more Super Leagues, because Karen was just one of those turn and shoot kind of players and would just bomb it in from everywhere. So it's a shame we didn't have it 5-6 years ago.
There you go, Karen. One for you. I've got to say that the time has absolutely run away with me. It's been brilliant talking to you both. Thank you for coming on the first ever groundbreaking Thundercast. If you'd like to let me know your thoughts out there, I'd love to know what you guys think at home of the super shot, of missing netball at the moment. You can get in touch with me. I'm Lindsay_Chapman on Twitter, or Lindsay Chapman Presenter on Instagram. If you use the hashtag Thundercast or @ThunderNetball, we'll be able to find you as well. And as I say, if you're a member, you can get your questions in. And excitingly, our brand new membership package launches today alongside Thundercast. Debbie, just remind us of what you get from the wonderful membership.
Wow, you get, obviously, as you've said, you got to submit a question and make them really difficult for our guests. You get a lovely membership pack, very, very well presented, with your pin badge. You get 10% discount off merchandise. You get exclusive access to semi-final tickets. You get members only exclusive content, and you will get voting rights to the Members Player of the Year award. And you never know, you might even get to present that to the player.
And as an extra selling point, that membership pack might be packed by me, maybe, who knows? I'm so pleased about that bit at the end. It's packed by Kerry Armand, people. Come on, you know you want to. It's been a real pleasure talking to you both. Thank you very much for your time. Massive thank you to UAP, the leading door hardware supplier in the UK. Thank you as well for listening. And we will be back next month with more netball news, behind the scenes action, gossip and big name guests as well. You've been listening to Thundercast. We'll see you very, very soon.